In Oxford, Mississippi today, there'll be ceremonies and speeches, a book signing, and a courthouse barbecue to mark the day 40 years ago that James Meredith broke the whites-only barrier at the University of Mississippi. After a night of rioting that left two dead and hundreds injured, Meredith registered as a student. One writer called it the last battle of the Civil War. Today, James Meredith sells used cars in Jackson, Mississippi. His son was the outstanding doctoral student in economics at Ole Miss. Still, even with James Meredith's place in history, he remains estranged from civil rights activists. In the second of two stories on the integration of Ole Miss, NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams reports.
James Meredith is now 69. He's nonchalant about wearing a rumpled white Ole Miss Rebel baseball cap. He has a gray beard on his thin face. His body is thin, too. He says he's losing weight because of stomach problems, and his doctor is worried.
James Meredith Auto. Yes, ma'am. What you need?
As he sits in a rundown office at his small, shabby used car lot, Meredith can't think of one college buddy from those days.
I made a total commitment to never recognizing a single person at the university, and I still to this day can't. I was fighting a war. This was nothing personal or social to me. I was fighting a war, and my goal was to destroy my enemies.
One of his opponents was segregationist Governor Ross Barnett.
I'm a Mississippi segregationist, and I am proud of it.
Before he applied to Ole Miss, Meredith had obtained most of the credits he needed for college graduation from Jackson State University, a historically black school in the state capital. He intentionally held back from graduating there so he could apply to finish his studies at Ole Miss, the school that represented the pinnacle of Mississippi's wealthy, segregationist plantation society. Governor Barnett physically blocked Meredith's efforts to register as a student at the university several times, including once in the state office building across from the Capitol in Jackson.
Jackson, James Meredith has just arrived in the custody of federal officials and apparently making his way up to the 10th floor to register. And in they go, and the crowd is booing lustily inside the Wolfolk building.
But a few days later, in the first minutes after he finally registered, and as federal troops stood guard on a campus still heavy with death and fear, Meredith got a message that still brings him to tears.
The most significant thing that happened, when I finished registering, came out to go to my first class, there was a black standing in the hall. I thought that looked a little strange. And he had a broom on his arm. And when I walked by, he turned his body so the broom handle would touch me. And he was delivering probably one of the most important messages that I ever got at Ole Miss. The message was that we're looking after you. Every black eye is looking after you.
Simply from the touch of that broom.
And the look on his face. That was a greater act of defiance than what I was doing, because he could have lost his job for that.
It touches you to this minute. You want to cry.
That's right. You see what a lot of people don't understand? That most blacks not only then believed in white supremacy, most of them still do today. You understand that? I mean, they were comfortable with the status quo. They didn't want to rock any boats. But that's human nature.
In the one school year he lived on the Ole Miss campus, Meredith made a point of doing what any other student was entitled to do, including playing golf, despite the tension surrounding his presence. He said he would have gone to white frat parties to dance with white girls if he wanted to.
If that's what I wanted to do, you better believe it.
Meredith admits that situation would have put him in danger. So I asked him, why is he still alive?
Because I'm a bad dude. Now, that might sound funny, but that's the God's truth. Don't you understand that I was the only person that wasn't shaking in the boots?
Pulling at the bill of his Ole Miss baseball cap, Meredith says he's thrilled that the university is commemorating the events of 40 years ago, but he wants nothing to do with the civil rights memorial that's being put on the Ole Miss campus. Meredith considers his battle to break segregation at the school a personal triumph over white supremacy. He says he was asserting his rights as an American, regardless of race, to first-class citizenship. He doesn't see that moment as part of civil rights history. He doesn't see himself as a civil rights activist. In fact, he doesn't see himself as a black man.
My bloodline primarily is Native American, Choctaw.
John Salter, a key civil rights activist in 1960s Mississippi, dismisses Meredith as a man whose mind has been wounded by the stress of integrating Ole Miss and later being shot during a 1966 voting rights march.
I think he has become a major casualty of the struggle.
And when you say a casualty, do you mean psychologically or emotionally?
I mean psychologically. Clearly, I mean, he's gone over the edge.
Today, Meredith insists that civil rights groups are still trying to take credit for what he did at Ole Miss, even though he acted as an individual.
I had always believed that the only way to break the system of white supremacy was to get a military force on my side, greater than the military force in Mississippi. There was only one force in the world, greater than Mississippi's armed force, and that was the United States of America.
Meredith got advice on his plan to break the racial barrier at Ole Miss from NAACP Mississippi leader Medgar Evers. Martin Luther King Jr. and other civil rights leaders picked up Meredith's one-man march for voting rights after Meredith was shot. But Meredith resents the idea that anyone might view him as a civil rights activist.
The so-called civil rights movement was started by a small group of so-called liberals in New York City and a smaller group in Washington, D.C. And the principal objective of that group was to advance their own status class. And basically, what the liberals say is that I believe that the white is supreme.
Bill Miner, a prize-winning journalist who covered Meredith's shooting as well as the fireworks surrounding his entry at Ole Miss, sees a unique figure in history.
Meredith still defies any definition. He marches to his own drummer like no one I've ever known. But I think the fact that he has never been embraced by the black community in the state for what he really did achieve. I mean, he broke the color barrier in the state.
Meredith further distanced himself from the civil rights community in 1989 when he joined the staff of conservative Republican Senator Jesse Helms. Then in 1991, he endorsed former KKK leader David Duke's run for governor of Louisiana. Reverend Joseph Lowry, the former head of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, says Meredith still deserves respect for breaking the color line at Ole Miss.
We have to give Meredith a great deal of credit. After the Civil Rights Act, which came after that event, then the public schools began to hasten their timetable in terms of breaking down the barriers of segregation. So I think it was tremendous because of the fact and the symbol that Mississippi represents.
In 1963, at his graduation from the University of Mississippi, James Meredith wore a button segregationists had handed out a year before during the fight against his admission. The Capitol red letters on a white background read, "Never." Meredith turned the button upside down and pinned it to his robes as a sign of victory. Juan Williams, NPR News, Jackson, Mississippi.